I want to talk to you tonight about training your spirit. Actually, this is, I've got a book called Listen to Your Heart. You know, in the Word of God, it talks about the heart. And it's not talking about, it's talking about our human spirit, our spirit on the inside. And our spirit on the inside connects with the Holy Spirit and God. And, you know, my dad used to talk about how to train the human spirit. And I don't know, I was just looking today and listening and thinking and meditating, and this came, so I'm going to talk about it tonight. I know some of you have heard it before, but you know what? The Apostle Peter said he's going to keep reminding his constituents as long as he was in his fleshly body. And what we got to realize is that we get new people come in, and some of them may not have heard this message. It's an important message. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 to start with. I'm going to read this from several translations. The reason being is because I was looking today and looking at all these, and I said, well, I'll just read them. But this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. That's the New King James. The NLT says, study this book of instruction, God's word, continually. Meditate on it day and night, so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Now, I want to read this from the Complete Jewish Bible. Yes, keep this book of the Torah on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you will take care to act according to everything written in it. Then your undertakings will prosper and you will succeed. The God's Word translation. Never stop reciting these teachings. You must think about them night and day so that you will faithfully do everything written in them. Only then will you be Will you prosper and succeed? It seems from reading the scriptures, from the way it's different translations, is that the way to prosper and to be successful and succeed in life is to stay in the Word of God until it becomes a part of you. You see, you have to decide. Now, you can be born again, even spirit-filled, and still not come in line with these. I mean, you're not doing anything wrong, but you still go to heaven. But, hey, you're going to miss out on a lot that God said that you could have and said that belongs to you. Okay? You know, you make up your mind, I'm going to listen to my heart and always do what the Holy Spirit is leading me to do. The Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. Okay? You know, training and developing is nothing new. We spend, I don't know how much money is spent yearly on physical training, and there's nothing wrong with that. We need to keep our physical bodies in shape because a physical body that is to being maintained, taken care of. You know, a lot of people, they'll do maintenance on their car, but they let their body go to pot. You know, that's not a good statement, but it used to be, okay? Hey, I'm old school. I'm 82 years old. It used to be, all right. Yeah, my kids and my grandkids say, Papa, you got to change some things, and I'm trying. Just let it go to, you know, but there are some people don't take care of their bodies. But that's all right. There's nothing wrong with it. Even the Bible says physical training has some value. And millions are spent on developing our minds, and that's good. We should never stop learning. But we also should learn how to develop the human spirit. You know, Paul talks about that we're spirit, soul, and body. We are a three-part person. We I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Paul says, you know, it's spirit, soul, and body. Well, we need to train that human spirit. Too many people don't get involved in doing this. But, you know, Peter said in 2 Peter 1:3, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need to live a godly life. Now, there are four important things I want to mention tonight in training the human spirit. It's not all of it. I mean, this is not an inclusive thing. I'm just going to touch some high spots. And there's two books out there in the bookstore, and if you want to get one of mine's Listen to Your Heart. It's more of the modern-day approach to how to train the human spirit that was written by my dad, Kenneth E. Hagin. I'm Kenneth W. Some of y'all say, well, I got books that says Kenneth Hagin Jr. on it. Yeah, you do, because whenever I would go out to speak, they just advertised Kenneth Hagin. Well, everybody thought it was my dad. And so I found out real quick I needed to, and so I took on Junior, and I did that until he went home to be with the Lord. And I said, well, okay, now there's only one Kenneth Hagin, so I can take my own name back. Only difference was our middle initials. He's Kenneth E, I was Kenneth W, so whatever it means. Okay. The number one out of the four things I want to mention tonight is meditate on the word. And that's what it said here to begin with. It said, but you shall meditate on the word day and night. And even that's the King James, NLT, the Complete Jewish Bible said that. And meditate. Now, the God's Word translation says, never stop reciting these, but you think about them day and night. Well, thinking about them day and night, that's what meditate is focus your thoughts, focus one's thoughts on a particular subject, scripture, reflect on it, ponder over it, think about it. You know, continually thinking about the Word of God, and then these scriptures talked about, you know, talking the Word. Say it. You know, I do certain scriptures probably every day. You know, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. No weapon formed against me today will prosper. You know, once you get the word in you, it can come out of you. You don't even have to think about it. It's there. You know, some people think studying the word is grabbing a Bible and reading a scripture or a psalm or a proverb real fast, and they've studied the word. Well, that's not. That's all right. You need to at least do something. But if you're going to study the word, you're going to have to think about it. Meditate on it. You know, I've seen a lot of Christians that are a little weak, and sometimes it's because they haven't been studying the Word. What does that mean? Read a scripture, and then during the day, if you have a job that you can do it on, sometimes you don't have to think. It's just a manual job that you don't have to think about. Meditate on that. Think about it. You know, until it becomes a part of you. You know, I guess I learned it from my dad, but I made a practice of this. You know, when I was in college, Bible college, I worked the midnight shift at Plastics Manufacturing Company in Dallas, Texas. And My job didn't require a whole lot of thinking. All it required is taking these pieces of plastic, putting them in this mold, hitting a button, and then once it popped open, you take them out and set them over here, and then they take them off to polish them up and everything. So that don't take a lot of thinking, you know. And so I would read a scripture or two before I went to work, and then during the night, I would meditate or reflect or ponder, is different words, on those scriptures. That's the way you get them down in you. That's the way you renew your mind with the Word. The Word of God says renew your mind. The only way, you're born again, your spirit's born again, but you're going to renew this mind up here by meditating on these scriptures over and over again. Meditate on them. And, you know, and then speak them out of your mouth. Just, you know, as you speak something over and over again, it becomes a part of you. You know, meditate on these day and night. So then you can prosper and be successful. Number two, practice the Word. He said here, he told him to meditate so that he would obey the scripture that was written. Obeying something here would mean to be a doer of what you've been meditating on, the scripture you've been meditating on. You know, there's talkers about the Word, and then there's talkers and doers of the Word. There's a lot of people that can talk, but they're not much on the doing what the Word of God says. You know, I mean, athletically, a lot of guys here played athletics, and a lot of guys can talk a good game, but it's another thing to go out there and do it. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? Yeah. See, there's a lot of people can talk about the Bible, but you watch them for a little bit, they're not doing what the Bible says to do. Hello. I better go on because y'all done losing you right there. You know, I've been in the ministry over 60 years, about 64, I think now it is. And during that time, man, I've seen a lot of people that really looked like they had the victory. You know, man, everybody is praising God and they're jumping higher and shouting louder than anybody. And more than once, a few weeks later, these same people come back to me. They're facing difficulty. They're facing trials and tests. They're not jumping. They're not shouting. They're wringing their hands and said, oh my God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? You see, and I tell them the same. I said, do the same thing you were doing. Shouting, praising God. Because the promises of God are the same. I don't care what's happening. God's word is still God's word, and his word is the same. And if you believe that word and confess that word, it will become a part of you, and things will begin to happen that the word says will happen in your life. Now, we live in we want it this minute. No, you keep believing God until you see the manifestation. You keep talking about it until you see the manifestation. See, a doer of the word just doesn't shout when things are great. A doer of the word also praises God and shouts when the circumstances look bad, when it don't look like there's no way of escape. Somebody said, well, you haven't been there. Yes, I have, more than you would want me to tell you about. See, your faith in the Word of God is not based on what you see, feel, hear, or anything, or your emotions. It's based on what God said. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. I got that from my dad years and years and years ago when I was a kid. And I still believe that. God said it. I believe it. That settles it, period. There's no other way about it. You know, well, somebody said, well, this is what I think God is talking about. Hey, since when did God have to have you to interpret what he said? God said what he meant and meant what he said, and that's it. There's no other thing about it. Hello? Anybody with me on that? You see, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, and I'm going to read this from several other translations. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. The Phillips translation says, the NLT translation says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Now, the complete Jewish Bible says this, don't worry about anything. On the contrary, make requests known to God by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Then God's shalom, or God's peace, passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds safe in union with the Messiah, Yeshua. Wait. Now, God's word translation, never worry about anything. Never. Never worry about anything. See, the King James says, don't be anxious about nothing. Don't never, and then the NLT says, don't worry. The complete Jewish Bible says, don't worry. This one says, God's word translation, never, never worry about anything. But in every situation, let God know what you need in prayer and request while giving thanks. Then God's peace, which goes beyond anything you can imagine, will guard your thoughts and emotions through Jesus Christ. I like the way this says it. Never worry about anything, but in every circumstance, every situation, everything, let your needs be made known, prayers and requests, while giving thanks. And then when you do that, then God's peace, which goes beyond anything you can imagine. Now that's a broad subject right there. It goes beyond anything you can think up, would be another way to say that. And it will guard your thoughts and emotions through Jesus Christ. Just refuse to be anxious. Refuse to worry. Now, you know, some people say that's easier said than done. Yeah, it is, but you can do it by standing firm on the promises of God. See, I learned all this from growing up with my father that was known as he didn't like this title, but they give it to him. He was known as the father of the modern day faith movement. Now, he said, I'm not the father in there. I'm just reading you what the Bible says. Just telling you what the Bible says. You know, I watched him. I grew up and I lived in his house. And no matter what the circumstance he faced, he walked in the peace of God. Now, I grew up in his house, and then I came to work with him in 1972, and I was around him for the rest of his life. And I never seen him get anxious or worry about anything. Now, there sits Tony Cook over there that was on our staff here for 19 years, I guess it was. And he did a lot of back and forth with Dad, asking him questions and getting things. And that, in fact, that's where some of the books come from. Tony would sit in his office and ask him questions about things, and he would answer and record it, then we'd put it into a book. And I guarantee you, Tony will tell you, in all kinds of situations, he never seen him worry about anything. Is that right, Tony? And Tony knew him very well. I'm trying to get somebody that wasn't part of the family, and he wasn't part of the family. He just was here working. I saw this happen one night when I was about 6 years old. We had preached a meeting out in West Texas, and it had closed out, and we were driving back to Pat's mama's house. That's his mom. We all, the grandkids, called her Pat's mama, and My cousin, actually Ruth, came to live with us when she was 16 and lived with us. She got married. It was my aunt's oldest daughter. And so Ruth, she couldn't say grandmother, but she was trying to, and she was just a little taught. She was trying to tell her mother about her grandmother. And so finally she said, "You know, Pat's mama." And that Uncle Pat, well, Uncle Pat, he was the youngest of the four kids. It was Aunt Olita, Uncle Dub, Dad, and Uncle Pat. And that was the four kids. Well, I called them Uncle and Aunt, but that's what they were to me. And that's how she got the name Pat's mama. And anybody in McKinney, Texas that knew Lily Hagen, that was a close friend of hers, called her Pat's mama. That's what everybody called her. And we were going back there, and we had preached at this church. We drove at night a lot back then in those days. Remember, I'm 6 years old, so that would have been 44, 45, I guess. And there was no air conditioning, and we drove at nighttime because it was cooler. And then besides that, it was better on those old worn-out tires on that car, too. But so Mom was asleep over here. My sister's laying on the seat back here. And we had a trunk that we put between the seats. And I always sat on it behind Dad and talked to him. And I'd stay awake a lot of times all night with him. If he was driving sometimes, I'd just talk to him, ask him questions. And so we stopped at a gas station. And I noticed he didn't put very much fuel in at all. And I knew the tank was down to empty because I knew that, you know. And he got in the car and he said, "All right, Lord." He said, they didn't give us any money, any offering. And that's all the money I got. And I put it in that gas tank. And gas wasn't expensive. It wasn't as expensive as then. It was like 16, 19 cents a gallon back then. Even when I was in college, it was only 22 cents. And if I had a gas war on, you get it for 19 cents. Anybody remember though? And he said, "All right, Lord." He said, "That's all the money I've got. I would fill it up, but that's all I got. I expect this car to run till we get to Mama's house. In the name of Jesus." I watched that gas gauge go down to empty, and I watched us drive almost 200 miles with a gas gauge that's on empty. And how many of you know that don't work? The car sputtered one time, and Dad said, "Lord, you know what I said, you know what I believe, and you know what I confess. I thank you that this car's going to run." That motor picked back up and we ran. In fact, it was night, and we got in there at a wee, you know, like 4 o'clock in the morning, I think. And so we all went to bed. We got up. Dad said, "Give me a gas can," and I went down to the little store down the road and got gas and came back. When you took the gas cap off, you couldn't even smell gas. I mean, you could put your nose on it and you just couldn't smell gas. We poured that in and it wouldn't crank. And so I had to go get a little bit more, and we had to take the breather. And most of your kids don't know nothing about carburetors, but we had to take the breathing off of the carburetor, and we had to pour fuel down the carburetor before we ever got that car started. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, I got some people that understand. But you see, he didn't get upset. He didn't worry about it. He believed what the Word of God said. And I've heard him tell people, I've heard him tell that story myself. I've told it myself. But I've heard him tell people, now look, if you got the money, God expects you to use it. So don't be trying to, you know, some people, that's the way they do it. But he told the Lord, he said, that's all I've got. And I thank you. You know, that's practice in the word. That's being a doer of the word. But he meditated on the word of God until it became a part of him. Now, another essential part of practicing the word of God, ooh, and I'm running out of time. I got 10 minutes. I'll do what I can do, is walking in love. If you were here last Wednesday night, I talked about love, the power of love. How many were here last Wednesday? I remember that. Well, you know, love is essential. If you want the Holy Spirit to move in your life, you got to walk in love. In fact, if you want your faith to work, it says faith works by love. See, when you walk in love, you will automatically fulfill the commandments. You see, God, he gave the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, he gave the commandment of love. If you walk in the commandment of love, you won't disobey any of those 10 back there. Anybody ever understand that? I just told you. So now you do. Okay. I learned from my dad to never hold a grudge against anybody. Don't care what they say about you. Just instead pray for them. You see, walking in love is a matter of you making a decision. If you're not walking in love, the Spirit of God is not being able to be fruitful in your life. All right, let's go to the third thing. Giving the word first place in your life. I'm talking about training your human spirit to stay in tune with God. Jesus said, the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. You know, you feed on the scripture until it is a part of you. You are saturated with it. Then when you face the trials of life, you won't be saying, oh my God, what am I going to do? You'll start quoting scripture. When somebody says something, they're coming against the ministry or coming against me, and they come and tell me about it, I say, no weapon formed against me will prosper, because that's what the Bible says. You see, when they say, tornado watch, I don't even wait for warning, or severe thunderstorm warning, I immediately began to claim protection over all the Rhema property, over my personal property, over my grandkids and my kids' property, because I have that right. See, I can't claim your property because I don't have that right. Now, I can agree with you, and I do. When I'm praying, my wife will tell you, I'll immediately begin to pray. I say, I agree with all the Rhema people that their property is all safe. You see, that's what happens when it works. It works. You know, feeding on the Word of God. I learned this early in the life because I saw my dad do it. As a first grader, and I was going to school in Van, Texas. He pastored that church there. I would go to sleep, and he's sitting at a desk in the corner, and I would wake up the next morning, and he's still sitting at that desk, studying the Word. I've seen him do it many times. You got to study the Word. You got to feed on the Word of God. I saw him do that. And over the years, I saw him, that Word, become a part of him. When Pat's mama passed, my wife will tell you this. We were all standing around her word bed. It's 1980. Or, yeah. 72, excuse me. Yeah, I got it mixed up. 72. We were all standing there, the cousins and all of us standing around the bed when Pastor Mama went home. And I'm standing pretty close to him, and I see his lips moving. And growing up in his house, anytime you see his lips moving, he's usually quoting a word or praying. And he was speaking very quietly, but I heard, "Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting?" And then other scriptures began to roll out of him, and he got a little bit louder. Until Lynette will tell you, he quoted scriptures for, what, 3 or 4 minutes or more. And as he quoted those scriptures, the spirit of gloom lifted in that room. And everybody, we were rejoicing that Pastor Mama went to her heavenly reward. You see, when you know the scripture, and even when one of your loved ones goes on, you can quote the scripture and it will comfort your heart. Hello, I'm talking about, but you can't do that if you hadn't meditated in those scriptures. And then he was being a doer of the word. That's what doing of the word. Now, one last thing, and I got 2 minutes out there. Instantly obey the voice of God when he begins to speak to you. You got to know the voice of God in order to instantly obey. Well, you do that by meditating on the word, speaking the word. You know, I'm going to use this story of a businessman. He was driving to a business appointment to another city about 200 miles away. He's going to sign a contract that would make him $250,000. He had timed his journey so he would reach the place at the exact time that he needed to be there to go in to sign the papers. But as he was driving down the freeway, the Spirit of God said, "Take this exit." And he said, "Okay." And he took the exit. He got out of the inn. They said, turn to your right. And he did that. And he pulled into this town. And he heard, "Park your car." So he parked in a parking place there. And he said, "Okay, Lord, what now?" And he didn't hear any further instructions, so he just sat there and prayed and meditated. And then in a minute, he had to forget about this appointment because now he's going to miss it. In a little bit, he saw this man stumbling down the street. And the Lord said, "That's why you're here." And he got out and he ministered to this fellow. Led him to the Lord, and the man told him, he said, "I was laying in the park, and I was looking up at the sky, and I said, 'Lord, if you're real, then send somebody to help me.'" This businessman contacted him sometime later, and the man was still living for God and doing good. The guy had lost everything. He had started drinking and lost everything. The businessman led him to the Lord, got him on a bus back home, back to his home, and he contacted him later, and he's still walking with God. After ministering, he got in the car and headed back to where he was going, but he knew, hey, the deal may be over. I don't know. And so he just said, "All right, Lord, I took care of your business. I'm believing you to take care of mine." When he reached the destination and went in, the secretary said, "Oh, we have been trying to get a hold of you. The boss got called out of town on an emergency, and we've rescheduled the appointment in the morning for 10 o'clock. So the man went and got him a hotel room and waited till 10 o'clock the next morning, went over there. And the man said, "Because I know you traveled a long way and I put you out, I'm going to up the deal $10,000 for you as you've been out." Now, he took care of God's business and God took care of his business. Now, I'm not going to tell you it's going to work that way for you for every time, but if you'll obey God when he tells you to do something, it will work. I've told this to you before, but I'll tell it to you again. We'd bought this campus. I was in them, and this building wasn't here then. We had SDC 2. We had the maintenance building and part of another. We had three buildings going at once. And I was trying to get a loan, and I had exhausted everything, but our banker brought a guy in, and we're sitting in my, or over in my office on the corner, we're sitting there at the conference table. I'm sitting here at the end, my banker's sitting over here, and this other banker from big bank out of St. Louis is sitting here, and I told him what I wanted, and I had a little bit of advantage. My brother-in-law is the president of a bank, my wife's brother, and I had told Gary what I was doing, and he told me, he said, well, this is what you do, and this is what you stay, and this is what you ask for. Well, when I started asking all that, this banker looked at the other guy, and he said, I haven't talked to him. He said, I don't. And they started talking. And I heard in my spirit, because they're talking, he had already said he didn't think we could do this deal after I asked those questions and they started talking. And go over your desk. Now, you don't get up and leave a conference table when you're going to sign a deal, trying to get a deal going. But I knew the Lord said do it. Now, be sure it's God and not just you, okay? So I went over to my desk, and so I said, well, I don't know what does. I had some papers some letters needed, so I just started signing letters. They talked for a few minutes, and finally they realized I wasn't there. He turned around and he said, well, what are we going to do? And I didn't even think about this. I guess the Spirit of God gave it to me, because out of my mouth come, you heard my deal, take it or leave it. Hey, I had talked to every other banker. He was my last resort. But that's what I heard come up, and I just said it. He said, okay, get over here and let's sign these papers. Now, sometimes what I'm talking about when you obey, instantly obey. Okay? I was at a, I'm 5 minutes late. Okay, give me one more. I was preaching at a, back several years ago now, back, I must have been about 79, 80 maybe, at a minister's conference. And the Lord told me to give this one person, I knew who he was, I knew him, to give him $100. Well, all I had in my pocket was $100. I didn't have any other money. That was it. I have nothing else. But I heard the Lord, so I did. And I slipped it in his pocket. And he didn't even know I did it. And a friend of mine told me later that he got home, he reached in his pocket and pulled out that $100 bill, and that's exactly what he needed to make a payment on the house, or they were going to evict him. Well, if I hadn't instantly obeyed, argued with God. Huh? Come on now. I was 16 with Dad out in California, and we run out of food in our trailer house. We prayed, and on Saturday night when we run out of food and asked for food, and I knew we'd start the meeting on Sunday. I knew, well, they'll feed the church, they'll pastor take us out. Well, we did the same. We kept thinking. We sat down at an empty table and with dishes there and thanked God for the food. On Wednesday, a guy stopped out in front of the trailer with a pickup load of groceries, and he told that dad never said anything. He just said, the Lord told me Sunday that you needed groceries, but I knew you really didn't need any. But it got so bad today, I couldn't stand it. So here's a whole pickup load. And I'm not talking about those little plastic sacks. I'm talking about those big paper sacks that you get used to getting. You could put a lot in, a whole lot more than you can put in them plastic dudes. But what I want to show you, see, we had prayed on Saturday night and asked for food. The Lord spoke to somebody, but they didn't obey, so we went hungry for 2 days. So, hey, obey. You know, when you train your human spirit, listen to the Spirit of God. How many understand what I'm trying to get across to you tonight? There's these four things. Daily meditate on the Word of God. Practice the Word. Give the Word first place in your life. And instantly obey the voice of the Spirit. Heavenly Father, just try to warn, to help these people tonight to know how to train their spirit so that they can listen to the Holy Spirit and their life will be prosperous and successful. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Everybody stand, please. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Praise the Lord. I just thought, you know, that's just a little overview. If you want some more of it, it's in that book out there. But I'm not trying to sell a book. I'm just telling you. If you happen to be in this place tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know Him before you leave here. Or you need to rededicate your life. You know what it is to serve God, but you're not just where you need to be with God, and you need to rededicate your life. Are you here and you'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm not talking about church creed or doctrine. I'm talking about what the Bible says. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. Anybody on any one of those three invitations, if that's you, the men are here, the ladies are over here. As we're dismissed tonight, if you'll come down here, they'll pray with you and you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. If you need prayer for anything, healing, somebody to pray with you about any job or anything, you need prayer for anything, if you'll come down, they'll pray. Our prayer team, they're trained, they'll pray with you. Amen and amen. Hey, Sunday morning right here. Come believe it, come expect it. 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock, School of the Bible, 10 o'clock, the morning worship service right here. For you that have been watching online, we'll be right back here next Sunday at 10 o'clock. So be with us. I know we have a lot of you that are with us all the time. We call you our e-church. I'm sure glad to have you. Hey, you first-time guest, we are so glad to have you with us. And if you're looking for a church home, what we say, church? Welcome home. Just come on, be a part of our family like Bill was talking about a while ago. I'm going to ask those connection team to find those first-time guests and take them to the lobby. We have a special gift that we want to give you. Thank you for coming and thank you for being with us. Hey, remember, you got to keep meditating on the Word of God and keep speaking it out of your mouth if you want to be successful and prosperous. That's what the Bible says. I didn't say it. The Bible said. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday. If you need prayer for salvation, rededication, Holy Spirit, or any reason whatsoever, come to the front right now. God bless. We'll see you Sunday.